Welcome back to the Beyond the OPS Baseball Podcast. As always, I am your host, Ethan, and today marks the fifth episode of the podcast. The first four actually have 150 combined listeners, which is something I would have never expected when creating this. I love, obviously, posting on X and analyzing players and in 2025 actually writing about those guys, but I think my favorite part is just coming on the mic and being able to just share my thoughts and kind of just have something for people to listen to, which I think is really cool when creating a podcast. This episode, I want to focus on something that is definitely getting more of a discussion now that we're inching closer to the 2025 MLB season, and that is MVP odds. You're seeing a lot of zip projections on Fangraphs. A lot of the betting market websites are getting into their top five picks for MVP, but I want to cover guys that are outside of that top five range. So for the AL, just a fair warning, Kyle Tucker is still on the AL side, which he shouldn't be because obviously he is with the Chicago Cubs. But no Aaron Judge, clear front runner, 50 home runs, 60 home runs. Guy is one of the best players in Major League Baseball. Bobby Witt Jr., who is my pick for the AL MVP, he will not be mentioned. Yordan Alvarez, arguably the best left-handed hitter in baseball, third highest odds. Gunnar Henderson at plus 750, and like I just said, Kyle Tucker is slotted in at five, but he is with the NL, so he won't be mentioned on the AL, obviously, because he's not in the American League or on the NL side as well. National League, Shohei Ohtani isn't even touching any airtime in this podcast. Obviously, the clear front runner. Juan Soto, $700 million man, will not be mentioned. Fernando Tatis Jr., third highest odds at plus 750. Mookie Betts at plus 1,200, and Bryce Harper at plus 1,400. Before we actually get into the American League, I just want to kind of get this out of the way. This isn't betting advice in any way. I just like looking at the odds and seeing how far some of these, I think, top guys are out of the running. I'm not someone that actually gambles either, so this is definitely not betting advice. Don't use this as a way to, you know, try and make money or potentially lose money. I don't condone gambling in any way. I just wanted to kind of share my thoughts on some of these kind of crazy odds for some of these guys. Jumping into my first pick, I want to go with five guys. I think it's four or five guys from each league, so we're going to be starting with the AL. Jarren Duran is my first pick at plus 3,500. 80th percentile in batting run value, 98th percentile in base running run value, and he was actually the first player in MLB history to have a season with at least 14 triples, 40 doubles, 30 steals, 20 home runs, 75 RBIs, and 190 hits. Duran, in my opinion, pretty much solidified himself as a top 20 player. I know that he dealt with a lot of mental health struggles in his first season, kind of doubting himself and reading reports on him not, you know, being major league ready. And I think that really influenced him to have a huge end to 23 and a massive 24 season. Things that I look at with Duran, just notable improvements, increase in exit velocity, a 4-point increase in barrel percentage, increase in launch angle sweet spot percentage, decrease in K rate, and an increase in walk rate. So you're getting a guy that's hitting the ball in the air more, displays some of the best defense in Major League Baseball. I think he had an 11 OAA, which would put him in like the top 2% gold glove finalist. You're looking at a just five-tool player in Major League Baseball. He was chasing less. He was less aggressive early in counts. His pitch selection, I think, was a lot better this year. And, I mean, at plus 3,500, you're looking at, I mean, one of the best players in Major League Baseball that emerged last year. My next pick is kind of a surprise that he is this low. Julio Rodriguez is at plus 4,500. His first half was pretty dreadful. Wasn't hitting the ball in the air. His power numbers were down. He kind of looked like a shell of the player that we saw in 2023. But if you look at his advanced metrics, they were still very, very good. And he really, frankly, the last two seasons does amazing in the second half. 81st percentile in ex-WOBA. Expected batting average at 275. Ex-slugging at 463. That would put him in the 84th percentile plus in both those categories. Still top 13% in exit velocity. Still top 30% in barrel percentage. Top 11% in hard hit percentage. And he displays one of the best bat speeds in Major League Baseball. 76.3 miles an hour would put him in the 96th percentile. You know what you're getting with J-Rod. Potential every year, 30-30 player. He's going to grab it in center field. Has a 7 OAA last year, and I believe it was more in 23. One of the fastest players in Major League Baseball. almost a 30 feet per second sprint speed. And I understand the concern with J-Rod. The lack of production in the first half might scare away some people to actually project him going into 2025. But the last two seasons, we have seen J-Rod kind of struggle in the first half and go off in the second half. And at plus 4,500, these odds are really, really low. J-Rod is a premier young talent in Major League Baseball, and you're looking, when healthy and when at his best, a easily top 10 player in baseball with just an untapped ceiling. And I think at plus 4,500, these odds are really, really low on J-Rod with the type of player that he can be. And I think everyone listening to this can kind of just attest to how good Julio Rodriguez is as a Major League Baseball player. My next pick with the actual same odds, and this isn't a knock on him because he is actually my dark horse pick for AL MVP, is Riley Green at plus 4,500, the exact same odds as Julio Rodriguez. Some things that I looked at with Riley Green going into just the offseason: huge increase in launch angle, almost doubled his launch angle, increased barrel percentage by 2.1%, increased his walk rate, and decreased his whiff rate. This is a huge improvement because you're looking at a guy that is hitting the ball in the air twice as much. He's barreling the ball more. He's walking more. So his pitch selection and his plate approach is getting better actually every single season if you track it. I think going back to 22, 23, 24, he has seen an increase in walk rate and a decrease in chase rate. So you're getting a guy that's lifting the ball more, significant, massive steps of improvement. And my biggest thing when looking at guys, if you are walking more and chasing less, regardless of what your numbers are, in this case, Riley Green's numbers were obviously very good. You're looking at someone that is improving basically the most important aspect of your offensive profile. A walk increase means that you're more selective. In some cases, you're just swinging at pitches that you can handle and drive with authority, especially in Riley Green's case that has a ton of pop. And a guy that's chasing pitches out of the zone at a significantly less amount is really good. That was one of the concerns with Riley Green going into last year in 2024, was sometimes his ability to chase out of the zone. But you're seeing a guy as he's getting older, hitting the ball harder, less chase, and I think he's a very, very impactful Detroit Tiger, one of the just clear best players in Major League Baseball when healthy. Easily top 50 player in baseball. And just looking at the expected stats, 12% in xWOBA, 477 xSlug, top 11%, average EV, top 16% at almost 92 miles an hour, 13.4% barrel percentage, top 10%, hard hit percentage, top 7%, launch angle sweet spot percentage, top 10%, and definitely a very well above average bat speed at 74.6 miles an hour would put him in the top 15%. His OAA, I think, is misleading. I know, obviously, it tracks into how they're able to track the ball. It gives reads and just the overall defensive profile more of just like a looking at its standpoint when watching, obviously, on TV. It looks more into metrics and stuff like that. He did have a 1 OAA, but I think Riley Green definitely is a good defender. I think just kind of watching some of the Tigers games this year, and a couple Tigers fans that I talked to on Twitter say the same thing. Riley Green is definitely a good defensive baseball player. Going into the next pick, this is obviously could have been maybe a guy that I could have left off, but I really can't leave off Jose Ramirez at plus 1,300. Jose Ramirez in this generation, probably since his debut, has been the best third baseman in Major League Baseball. He is so consistent, almost had a 40-40 season last year. Yes, if you look at his advanced metrics, they're not going to be the greatest, but the best thing that I love about Jose Ramirez and why he is so elite of a baseball player is his swing decisions. Doesn't whiff, 15.2% whiff percentage, top 7%, 12% K percentage, top 2%. And I think just it attests to his overall profile. Switch hitter, great defensive third baseman, 3 OAA. So you're looking at just a well-rounded third baseman, can hit for pop, hits for average, is just a veteran leader for the Cleveland Guardians, who made a really good run in the postseason last year. And if the Guardians actually somehow get better going into 25, and Jose Ramirez puts up another year where he almost, like I said, had a almost 40-40 season last year, playing more into that story narrative that sometimes the MLB writers like. And I think he's finished top five in MVP voting, I think, three or four times. I believe he did last year as well. So Jose Ramirez, sixth highest odds. Like I said, probably could have left him off, but still at plus 1,300, I feel like this is kind of ridiculous. This is a guy that has finished top five multiple years in a row, the best defensive third, or excuse me, just best overall third baseman in Major League Baseball. These odds, I feel like, are actually kind of insane for the caliber of player that Jose Ramirez is. Going into the NL rankings, first guy I think that is criminally underrated at plus 2,200 is Corbin Carroll. I want to look at his second half. His 3.1 F4 was the seventh highest in Major League Baseball. 64 games, 17 home runs, 17 steals, 11% walk rate, which is fantastic. A sub 22% K rate, which was an improvement from the first half. A slash line of 258, 351, 568, a 384 wOBA with a 147 WRC+. I saw so many people writing off Corbin Carroll after his shoulder injury, and I think exactly a year after it happened, or around a year after his recovery, we saw a huge increase in production, huge increase in power, potentially 30-30 player, maybe. I mean, if you're looking at 17 home runs and 17 steals over a half, that's obviously 34 and 34 over a full season. Potentially, not saying he could or will, but potentially a 35-35 player going into next year. He's playing on a pretty much stacked offense last year. The Arizona Diamondbacks, I think, were number one in runs scored, one of the best offenses in Major League Baseball. So you're looking at a team that just got Corbin Burnes. Corbin Carroll is just an absolute wizard in the outfield, a wizard on the bases, provides some of the best pop for a guy that is his size. Just looking at Corbin Carroll, you wouldn't really think that this is a guy that is going to club potentially 30 home runs. And just looking at his advanced metrics, above average bat speed, really good at squaring the ball up, doesn't really chase, doesn't whiff. His K percentage for the year was at 19%, which was not bad actually at all, 68th percentile. And a guy that's going to potentially hit 30 home runs while playing elite defense with a 10.7% walk rate, top 20%, is fantastic. Corbin Carroll, arguably one of the fastest players in Major League Baseball, actually has the same sprint speed as Julio Rodriguez. His arm value last year wasn't the best, but like I said, he's coming off of a shoulder injury. I would love to see him just in a healthy 25 season. 8 OAA, top 8%. And like I said, arm strength and arm value weren't the best, but like I said, he's coming off of an injury. Get him just more healthy in 25, and you're looking at a guy that, without a doubt, is going to be an MVP finalist. I would say probably top five if he's fully healthy. And that goes into my next guy, actually my favorite player in Major League Baseball, Ketel Marte at plus 2,500. Ketel Marte, argue a wall, is the best second baseman in Major League Baseball. I don't really think there's even a debate at this rate. Batting run value last year at 37 was top 4%. Pretty above average base runner, and a 8 OAA was top 7%. So you're looking at a guy that hits with premier pop at the position, arguably the best pop at the position, one of the best base runners at his position, and one of the best fielders at his position. Just all around potential, just 5-tool player, an absolute elite talent that we have seen in Ketel Marte. I believe we saw it in 22 and 23, just couldn't stay healthy. And I think it was 23 where before he got hurt, he was looking like the best player in Major League Baseball. And we definitely saw that last year in 24. Ex-WOBA, top 3%. Expected batting average at 294, top 4%. 538 X-Slug, top 4%. Average exit velocity at 94 miles an hour, top 2%. Top 16% in barrel percentage. His hard hit percentage at 53.8% is in the 96th percentile. Squares the ball up very well, has above average bat speed. In terms of just his chase and whiff percentage, and just going into a little bit of his K percentage, they're definitely above average. You're looking at in chase percentage, whiff percentage, and K percentage, top 66th percentile. So you're not looking at a guy that displays, obviously, those really good power numbers, but in terms of that, he's not really chasing, whiffing, or striking out a lot. And his walk rate, which is something I love, probably, I mean, I know I'm into the advanced metrics and still kind of learning about that, but in terms of just like a face value metric that most people are obviously familiar with, if you walk a lot, it attests to your plate approach, just swinging at pitches that you think are definitely being able to drive within your offensive repertoire. But yeah, a guy that's going to walk on an 11% rate, I mean, get me that guy on my team all day long. And like I said, 8 OAA, top 7%. Ketel Marte with these odds, I think is, I mean, actually criminal. You're looking at a guy, Corbin Carroll and Ketel Marte, kind of maybe even a hot take, could finish top 5 in MVP voting in the National League. That is, I mean, they're some of the best players in Major League Baseball. Another guy that has pretty shockingly low odds, and I get it, if you look at his overall numbers for the year, you could kind of see why he's at plus 3,500, but his second half was insane. Jackson Churio is at plus 3,500 to win the NL MVP, but I want to look, like I said, at his second half. His 3-4 was the 10th most valuable in the second half. 12 home runs, 12 steals, a slash line of 310, 363, 552, and he posted a 150 WRC+. I know that his contract has legs on it, meaning that he could get more money. I think it's $120+ million, but right now, 8 years, $82 million. I mean, this guy, without a doubt, could be a top 20, top 15 player next year. And he's only 20 years old. Jackson Churio is, yes, 20 years old. Looking at a guy, 25-25, and we saw in the second half, 300 average, 150 WRC+. I mean, that's MVP potential without a doubt. Plus 3,500, I think, is absolutely criminal. Batting run value, top 9%. One of the best base runners in Major League Baseball, top 8% at a base running value of 4. 5 OAA, which is fantastic. Top 11% in the 89th percentile. His expected stats aren't really going to be the best, but I think a lot of it just kind of attests to on how poor he was in the first half. I believe he had a WRC plus under, I know definitely under 100 and maybe potentially below 90. But you saw a guy in the second half increase his barrel rate, increase his hard hit percentage, increase his average EV. His bat speed was relatively the same. He was squaring the ball up more. I believe he wasn't even chasing or whiffing more. It was actually less. So you're looking at a guy in the second half that was just vastly an improved player. And he's, you know, on a team, a young Brewers team that could potentially make the playoffs again, and Jackson Churio in a fully healthy 25 could be, like I said, a top 20, 15 player in Major League Baseball. And my final low odds pick, I understand he pretty much missed the entire 24 season, Ronald Acuña Jr. at plus 1,600. I mean, that might be one of the best. Like I said, not betting advice. Please don't take any of this as betting advice. I know I stated it in the beginning, but if you are, Ronald Acuña Jr. at plus 1,600 is insane. I don't want to look at his 24 numbers because, like I said, he was hurt, but I want to look at, obviously, 23. Dude put up one of the most insane offensive seasons we have ever seen. Had, the I believe, the highest batting run value, the top 2% base, just base running run value, 100th percentile in ex-WOBA, expected batting average, expected slugging, and average exit velocity. Ronald Acuña Jr.'s expected batting average in 2023 was 357. So he should have been better in a season where he set a record with, I believe, the 40-70 club or 40-60 club off the top of my head. Hit the ball harder than any player in Major League Baseball. Top 7% in barrel percentage. Top 2% in hard hit percentage. Doesn't chase, or I should say in 23, didn't chase, didn't whiff. His K rate was 11.4%, top 3%. Walk rate, top 20% at almost 11%. One of the best arms in Major League Baseball. Top 4% in arm value. Top 2% in average arm strength. These numbers are a joke. How are you top, basically the best in ex-WOBA, expected batting average, expected slugging, average EV? So you were supposed to be better in 23. You have some of the best profiles absolutely in the sport. Ronald Acuña Jr. went healthy. I mean, not even a debate. Top 5, top 3 player in baseball. He is that talented. But that is just kind of my, like I said, I didn't really want to make the episode too long, around 20-ish minutes. Doesn't give you guys, you know, 40 to 50 minutes listening to something like this, but I just kind of wanted to give my personal opinions in the MVP races, especially guys that are definitely low odds. So like I said, just to kind of recap, Corbin Carroll at plus 2,200, 35 potential 35-35 player. Ronald Acuna Jr. at plus 1,600 is an insane value-wise for a guy that easily has a ceiling of being a top three to top five player in baseball when healthy. Jackson Churio, in my opinion, will solidify himself as a top 20 to 15 player in the sport at plus 3,500. Ketel Marte, I believe, finished top five or top 10 in NL MVP voting last year at plus 2,500, and he is by far the most complete player at second base and the best second baseman in Major League Baseball. And just to highlight my American League guys, Jose Ramirez, like I said, I probably could have picked someone, I guess, with more odds not to win the AL MVP, but this is a guy that hasn't won one yet. He's finished top five multiple years, did it last year at plus 1,300, the best third baseman we have seen in our generation in Major League Baseball at plus 1,300. Riley Green at plus 4,500 could solidify himself easily as a top 30 player in baseball with some of the best advanced analytics and a great second half, increased fly ball rate, increased launch angle, increased hard hit rate, increased barrel percentage. And this is a guy that is just a very solidified player if he is able to have a healthy 25 season. Like I said, projected probably top 30 player. Julio Rodriguez at plus 4,500 is just an absolute crime. I know that his first half numbers in both of his last two seasons have been very subpar. It's a guy in the second half that can turn it on. If the Mariners can make, you know, a sneaky move, potentially have a playoff spot in 25, these odds are great for a guy with a, you know, a storyline season if he's able to just deliver a top 3 to 5 position player season next year in Major League Baseball. Great bat speed, hits the ball hard, barrels the ball very well, and has great expected stats. And Jarren Duran, who pretty much solidified himself as a top 20 player and a top pretty much 5 outfielder in the sport. Great expected stats, great in the outfield. And yeah, that's just kind of, like I said, didn't really want it to be too long. Just currently recording right now, 22 minutes. I kind of wanted it to be around the 23 to 25 minute range, which is very good. Four guys from each division. Some of these guys, I think the odds are ridiculous. And if kind of, I guess I'll go into who I think will win both of these awards. Like I said, Bobby Witt Jr. is my pick. Dude is arguably the best player in Major League Baseball, not named Shohei Ohtani. And you could actually probably maybe make a case after next year, if Aaron Judge has a down year, that he is a better overall, obviously not better hitter, but a better overall player of Aaron Judge. But yeah, Bobby Witt Jr. at plus 500 is my AL MVP pick. NL, Fernando Tatis Jr. was my pick last year. And to be honest, I guess I'll just go with Tatis again. The guy hits the ball harder than pretty much any player in Major League Baseball. I know he had a down year in terms of OAA defensively, but this is a guy that has just unreal raw talent. He's actually improved a lot of his advanced metrics and just service level metrics last year, even though he was battling injuries at some point. But Fernando Tatis Jr., when healthy, I mean, easily top five player in baseball, top five in NL MVP, so that'll be my pick for NL MVP again. Hopefully he actually does it this year. But yeah, I just want to thank you guys for listening. Obviously, this is something that I want to continue doing at least once a week with episodes, and I really, really thank you guys for listening to this episode.